All right, Psalm 3, a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom his son. O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no salvation for him in God. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory, and the lifter of my head. I cried aloud to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy hill. I lay down and slept. I woke again, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of many thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God. For you strike all my enemies on the cheek, you break the teeth of the wicked. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing be on your people. Let me start by saying that this psalm is intended to be read by the person who composed the book of Psalms to be read in conjunction with Psalm 1 and Psalm 2. And allegedly, Psalm 3 is a morning psalm and Psalm 4 is an evening psalm. So if you would like a spiritual practice, feel free in the days ahead to read Psalm 1 through 4 daily. And I think that would be a good practice. And you will get so much insight and really understand, I think, what David is saying here in Psalm 3. But let's take a few questions and comments here on Psalm 3 before we jump into some of the background.
Does that word arise, is that related to the word for resurrection?
No, because it's Hebrew and not Greek. No. Probably. I've got a Hebrew New Testament at home, and I have not looked that up.
Well, I know the one in Psalm 82 is. So
okay. It's possible. I would have to take a closer look. Does anybody have the blue letter Bible, or you can look up that Hebrew word there?
Which word? Arise.
Arise. I'm not entirely sure it's the word that I'm thinking, but it may be.
The Hebrew is
kum, yeah. So one of the most common words in Hebrew is get up. So that's not the most interesting part. This is David commanding that the Lord get up. Arise. Wait, David, what did you say to me? I'm sorry. Who is God in this situation? I will get up when I want to get up. This is the confidence of the petitioner that God is hearing him and going to respond. That's powerful. Because it is a command. Other questions, comments?
David wrote this when he's fleeing from his own son.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Anybody ever had that before? Had to run away from a family member with an axe? I don't want to make you relive trauma, but whew, that would be tough. Yeah, absolutely. Here's a little background for you. So David, his kingdom, his kingship, having been anointed as king after Saul and Jonathan died in battle on Mount Galboa, David's kingdom and kingship was seemingly going swimmingly. He did have a few skirmishes with Saul's son. I'm drawing a blank right now. Read it last night.
Jonathan?
No, Jonathan died in battle. Ish-bosheth was the king after Saul of Israel, king of Israel. And so David and the Israelite king, they skirmished, and some kind of wild stories in there. But eventually David won out and became, he was anointed king of Israel. The whole people, all the tribes. And his kingdom was seemingly going well until the armies went out for battle. And David decided to stay on a lawn chair on the roof and watch a young lady bathe. And so David and Bathsheba, the incident, kind of solidified David's heartache that he would experience in years to come. You can find part of this story in 2 Samuel 12. I want to read for you just a little bit of this. So I want you to understand what is going on with David running away from his son. Crazy, crazy. You've heard of coups? This is a coup. Whew. All right, 2 Samuel 12, starting in verse 10. David, because you have done this, 2 Samuel 12, verse 10, now therefore the sword shall never depart from your house, because you have despised me and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite. She's not named there, interesting. The wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against you out of your own house. And I will take your wives before your eyes and give them to your neighbor, and he shall lie with your wives in the sight of this son. For you did it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said to David, the Lord also has put away your sin. You shall not die. Nevertheless, because by this deed you have utterly scorned the Lord, the child who is born to you shall die. So that baby, which I don't think we ever learned the name of it. I don't know that in the ancient world, typically babies were named until the parents were like, okay, this one's going to survive. So the baby's not named. The baby dies. David is told that the sword will not depart from his house. His wives will be taken by others under the sun, and this very thing happens. So David has a daughter named Tamar. And Amnon, one of David's sons, is like, I love my sister so much. So he asks dad, he pretends he's sick. Dad, I need Tamar to feed me morsels from her hand. I'm so sick. So Tamar goes, David sends her. Tamar goes to Amnon, and Amnon rapes her. And then he was so in love. But then after he had raped her, then he so abhorred her, sent her away. Tamar went to Absalom and stayed in Absalom's house. So that is, so Absalom finds out, my brother Amnon raped my sister and then sent her away. He's furious. But David doesn't do anything about it. So Amnon probably should die because that's a wickedness that ought not to be done in Israel. But David doesn't do anything. Reminds me of Eli and his sons. Eli did nothing. Allowed the wickedness to continue. So Absalom says, you know what? I'm killing my brother. And he kills him. And then he runs away because now all of a sudden there's blood on his head. The avenger of blood can kill Absalom because he killed his brother. So Absalom runs away to another king, another nation. Well, he eventually comes back. And this is at the request of David's chief general, his commander of his army. Absalom comes back. And he's living in Jerusalem, but he's so furious at dad because dad did nothing, right? So now Amnon's dead and Absalom has immunity from, you know, the avenger of blood, but Absalom is still furious at dad. So he goes down to the gate of the city, which is typically where the business is done. And Absalom says, hey, everybody, inhabitants of Jerusalem. Anybody need to go up to the king to have a court case decided? Because guess what? He's unjust. And if I was your king, then you would get a just decision. So Absalom is usurping David's throne for years at the city gate. And David does nothing. Then Absalom hatches a plan. I'm going to officially usurp the throne. I'm going to Hebron, and I'm bringing all of David's court with me, as many as will come, and we're going to have a great time down there. And then some trumpets will blast, and I'm going to say, everybody around me, I'm going to tell them to say, all hail Absalom the king. He's the king. And a bunch of people might be like, whoa, 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 I was here for the party, but... Absalom's the king? What about David? He ain't dead yet. So anyway, Absalom hatches this plan. He declares himself king. He's on his way back into Jerusalem. And somebody tells David, Absalom's coming. He's declared himself the king, and all the people are going after him. You got to get out of town. So David gets out of town. And... there is this interesting interaction between David and this guy, Shimei. Some of you recall the story. David's on his way out of town. And this is in 2 Samuel 16, starting in verse 5. When King David came to Bahurim, there came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. And as he came, he cursed continually. And he threw stones at David, and at all the servants of the king, and all the people, and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. He had a guard, and this guy is just throwing rocks at him. And Shimei said as he cursed, get out, you men of blood, you worthless man. The Lord has avenged on you all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose place you have reigned. And the Lord has given the kingdom into the house of your son Absalom. See, your evil is on you, for you are a man of blood. Then Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, said to the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over there and take off his head. Which is a normal request. But the king said, what have I to do with you, you sons of Zeruiah? If he is cursing because the Lord has said to him, curse David. Who then shall say, why have you done so? And David said to Abishai and to all his servants, behold, my own son seeks my life. How much more now may this Benjamite leave him alone and let him curse? For the Lord has told him to. The Lord has told him to. It may be that the Lord will look on the wrong done to me, and that the Lord will repay me with good for his cursing today. So David and his men went on the road, while Shimei went along the hillside opposite him and cursed as he went and threw stones at him and flung dust. And that, I think, is some of the background here. David is writing Psalm 3, thinking about Shimei. So David says, you know, so Absalom's got this whole host that has gone with him to Hebron, declared him king, and now he's back in Jerusalem, back in the palace. And David says, oh Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Interesting to note is that David went east out of Jerusalem, crossed the Kidron Valley, up the Mount of Olives, and went that way. The Messiah of Yahweh departed Israel out that way toward the Mount of Olives. Isn't that interesting? And on his way back, he came back in the same way. I think that David was talking about himself. But I think in a way he's also prophesying some things that would happen at a later time. Like our own Jesus Messiah, persecuted, run out of Jerusalem. You know, he's arrested in the Mount of Olives in Gethsemane. Many are saying of my soul, there is no salvation for him in God. Recall what they taunted Jesus on the cross. If he's God, let him come down from there. If he's a physician, he can heal himself. There's no salvation for him in God because he's cursed, because he's hanging on a tree, the Lord Jesus. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me. Now, anybody ever held a shield before? A real shield? Or could be, I'll take a Nerf shield. Trash can lid? You are a shield about me. David is saying, I am protected on all sides. This is not normal shield behavior. You need to have a shield behind you in order to be protected behind you. And what does David just so happen to have? His mighty men protecting him on the right and on the left. He is protected. He is hemmed in. Somebody told him of the plot so he could get out of Jerusalem. David has been protected this whole time. Now he was told, your house will be filled with violence, but I will spare you. So David is spared, but his house is now torn to shreds. He's been evicted from his own house by his kid. Anybody's kid ever tried to pull that off? Adam, don't you dare. I'll tell you what. But now listen to this as well. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me. You are my glory. We talked about glory last week. What does that mean? That Yahweh is the glory of David and the lifter of my head. Anybody been depressed lately? Like I was saying, it's just the world is heavy right now. It's so heavy. You know, between prices rising and inflation like crazy, all our money is going to Ukraine, or was. Now it's all going to Israel. And then you've got this possibility of global conflict. You've got all these nations around Israel that are now threatening Israel. And guess what? Israel has nukes. That's what we're told. We could be looking at the beginning of a World War III nuclear exchange. The world is heavy right now. But Yahweh protects His anointed and lifts up His head. And if you are in Christ, then you are walking with David here. You're evicted from your own house. You are now going into exile. But Yahweh is your shield. And Yahweh lifts your head. In other words, your situation is not solely dependent on your immediate circumstances, or I should say your disposition should not be solely dictated by your circumstances. But there's a future coming, and it may look really, really dark right now, but on the other side of this, it gets really, really bright. We get to see God's glory. I cried aloud to the Lord, and He answered me from His holy hill. Somebody tell me about that. This is an image. David is on his way out of Jerusalem. He's just been cursed and had rocks thrown at him. He's crying out. And Yahweh answered from His holy hill. Somebody walk me through that. Oh, sure. Where is God's dwelling place at this time?
Zion.
It's in Zion. Where's David at this time?
Not in Zion.
Not in Zion. He is not bowing himself before the Lord at the tent. He cried from over here, and Yahweh heard him from over here and answered him. This is astounding what David is saying. What David is saying is that it doesn't matter where I go, Yahweh is still king and will answer me when I cry. I don't have to be offering blood at the tabernacle, at the sanctuary. Ever felt like you were in a place that was so far away from where God could reach you? I've been feeling that a whole lot lately. Like, God, are you even listening? Do you even care? And Yahweh answers from His holy hill. I lay down and slept. I woke again, for the Lord sustained me. You are running from a guy trying to kill you, and how can you sleep? I'm trying to finish a dissertation, and I can't sleep.
Yeah, but he's old.
True.
He's gonna run.
True.
So he collapses.
I think he's had his, you know, his nighttime chamomile, you know. How does David do this? How does David pull this off?
Because of what he just said.
I lay down and I slept.
Because the Lord is a shield about him.
The Lord is a shield about him. Yeah, sure, he's evicted. Yeah, sure, he's in exile. But he is secure in the Lord's protection of him.
You know what's phenomenal about this? Is he knows his background. He knows all of his failures. But he also knows God.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I don't think in David's mind he would say he has any right to Yahweh's protection. These are statements of fact. Yahweh protects me. Yahweh sustains me. He's not saying, oh Lord, please protect me. Yahweh does protect me. And I sleep like a baby, even when I am exiled. I will not be afraid of many thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you strike all my enemies on the cheek, you break the teeth of the wicked. I'm not sure when David wrote this. The song is about the time that he fled from Absalom, but maybe he wrote it when he got back to Jerusalem. Maybe he wrote it when he was in exile. Who knows? But the outcome of this story is that David's mighty man and his army general kills Absalom. So he returns to Jerusalem and takes up his throne again in, you know, next to the tabernacle, next to Mount Zion. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing be upon your people. So, let me just say, I did not plan to talk about this psalm to say anything about the current state of Israel. Okay? I'm talking about Jesus Messiah and his, according to David's prophecy here, his behavior. What's going to happen? Take this all back to Jesus. Jesus was able to endure suffering, persecution, the cross, knowing that vindication was coming. It was always on the way because his faith was in God to deliver him. Now, he died. He was crucified. But he knew that on the other side was glory. And he was raised again. So what does this tell us about us if we are in Christ? Does it tell us anything about us?
We have eternal security.
You've got eternal security. One thing that I'm saying right now is that things around this whole world are dark, particularly for the church. Things are so dark. And we can be persecuted, we can be exiled, we can be kicked out and maimed and killed. But ultimately, if you're walking with the Lord Jesus, that's not the end of the story. David wasn't a dead dog out in, where was he? He was on the other side of the Jordan, out in Ammon or Moab, in these foreign kingdoms, not sitting on his throne.
You gotta be careful when you say those things.
Yeah, he wasn't in Ammon and he wasn't in Moab, those places, you know. But to be in the territory of the Ammonites, you might as well not exist as an Israelite anymore. God knows.
When you're done, can I give an example of something that just happened?
Oh, sure. Yeah, I'll take examples.
Okay, so I have a friend that her daughter and their children, and her children lived in Israel.
Mm.
And last week, you know, with everything happening, they closed all the borders. And her mom had counseled her that they should just not check in any flights, but go right to the airport. And so she has two kids. She packed very little and just ran to the airport. And they found one airlines that were packing up or getting all their pilots and everything all on one flight. And they were able to fly with that, in that airplane with all those people. The three of them were able to get here to the U.S. because, you know, they didn't, they just trusted that that was the thing that they should do, and God protected them, and they would not have gotten out.
Right.
After that, if they, even if they tried to, if they tried to schedule a flight, they would have been questioned.
Yeah. Right. Right. Yeah. These times are crazy. And most of us, you know, unless you've served in the military, you haven't experienced war in your homeland. I haven't experienced war in my homeland, unless you've lived in like Southeast LA, but or Chicago, you know. No, okay, so we're all laughing right now, but the United States is being turned into it's a war, the battle is coming to our streets these days. And so I don't know what the future holds. I don't know what the future holds for us. I don't know what the future holds for Israel or the Palestinians or any of that. But I would say we all need to be praying. We need to be praying for, we need to pray for the nation of Israel to make good decisions. We need to pray for the Palestinians to be protected from genocide. They're being genocided, is what I'm saying. You're not hearing about that on the media because you're only getting one side right now. And I would say pray for Christians in both of those areas, because you know you've got now demonstrations on, you know, in New York City and in San Francisco and L.A. That's like, you know, Jews and Palestinians facing off. And so whatever conflict is happening over there is spilling over into the rest of the world. And we're all going to experience that to some degree. What I would say is keep your eyes fixed on Jesus and be in prayer for all of these people, that they would all seek the Lord, come to find salvation in Him. We pray for quick resolution to all the conflicts. I've been praying for resolution for Ukraine for now years. So pray, continue to pray for resolution there. Pray for you know, peace in Gaza and in southern Israel. And pray for your brothers and sisters that are caught right in the middle of this. There's a whole lot of Christians that are there in Israel that are caught right in the middle of all of this. And I just can't help but think that they all have a target on their back. From both sides. You know the worst thing to be in Israel when Israel's at war with Palestine? Is a Palestinian Christian. Because the Palestinians don't like you and the Israelis don't like you. You have no place. You have no home. And from what I've heard, churches in Gaza are just getting leveled. Just destroyed. But, I mean, so are the houses and apartments. I think I'd be more upset if my apartment building was destroyed than if the church building was destroyed. Because we can worship anywhere. Our God is the God that can hear us from Zion, wherever we are. So, it's crazy. All around, it's crazy. And I don't have a lot of answers. I don't have a lot of wisdom, but I know that Jesus is asking us to do something very specific, and that is to pray for all those involved and keep our eyes fixed on Him. Brothers and sisters, you know the voice of the Lord Jesus. He is our shepherd that is leading us. He speaks to us and we hear His voice. Please do not be fooled by the voices that are telling you, this is what you should believe. This is what you should do. You need to sign up your sons and daughters to go fight in Ukraine or Israel. Don't do it. Follow Jesus is what I would say. That's the best I got on this crazy topic. I don't even know, you know, I could spend weeks preparing some kind of like historical, you know, here's the history of the nations and their conflict and all that, but I'm a theologian. I just know what Jesus is asking us to do today, and that is don't give up, don't lose hope. God is good. Walk with Jesus. That's the best I got. I'll be up here for questions and comments after the service. I'd love to talk to you all more about this. Please keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Keep your hearts and your minds on the things above, and don't fall into the propaganda and you know, red versus blue. It's not what we do. It's not what a Christian does. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you so much for today. We thank you for the truth that you have given us in your word. We thank you for your voice that we can hear and follow. Lord, we pray for all those involved in war going on all over the world. The world just seems so dark and so heavy and such a powder keg. God, we just pray that you would be sovereign over it all. And Lord, we pray that you would have your purposes accomplished in the midst of all of this. God, we pray for our brothers and sisters here and abroad that we would all keep our eyes fixed on you. We thank you for the mission that you have given us, which is to reconcile people to you by introducing them to Jesus. We thank you so much for this job and this calling, and we just pray that you would equip us and empower us and enable us to do that in the days ahead. Help us in this dark time to be lights that are shining for you. Help us to radiate your glory. We thank you so much for who you are and all you do for us every day. Your provision on our behalf. God, we don't deserve it, and you are so good to us. We thank you for all this. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.